Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson with us this morning. She was in fact here about 6 years ago, but we have not seen her since that time when she came to visit, and it is a delight to welcome you back. For those of you who have never met or do not know Reverend Elder Wilson, I just want to provide a few words of introduction. I will not read her entire bio or resume, which is quite impressive, but I do want to just lift up a few things for your information and prayerful consideration as we open our ears and hearts and spirits to the word that she delivers. Reverend Elder Wilson was ordained in MCC, began pastoring at the young age of 22 in 1972. She was elected an elder, which is one of the presiding spiritual leaders for MCC. She was elected an elder in 1976, the same year as the founding of this congregation. So Reverend Elder and MCC Portland are celebrating 40 years anniversary. She served in many positions on that board of elders, from clerk and vice moderator. She has held multiple positions in MCC denominationally. She was for 23 years our ecumenical officer and represented MCC to other Christian denominations around the world. She has pastored four churches, the first in Boston, pastored in Detroit, then for 16 years at MCC Los Angeles, now Founders MCC, which is where I came to know her as my pastor for 16 years, and pastored Church of the Trinity in Sarasota, Florida, where she still resides with her partner Paula of more than 30 years in Sarasota. A few things since her election as moderator in 2005. She is retiring from that position this year. She is only the second person in MCC history to serve in that position and the first woman to be the head of communion, the moderator for MCC worldwide. A few other things of interest. In 2013, I believe, you can correct me. Ah, look, I should read my notes. In 2011, we're going to back up, 2011. Reverend Wilson was appointed by our U.S. President Barack Obama, and she served on the President's Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. And upon his second term inauguration, she was the first openly gay clergy person to participate in the inauguration of a U.S. president. In 2014, she was named as a spokesperson for Blessed Tomorrow, which is a group of ecumenical and interfaith leaders who mobilize religious communities to address environmental concerns. She is a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, which has named her in 2014 one of 50 powerful religious leaders who are making change in the world. Reverend Wilson is an author, a spiritual leader, a social justice advocate, and I am privileged to call her the pastor that has most shaped and formed me as a person of faith and as a pastor myself. And I would invite you to welcome Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson to the pulpit of MCC. Just a few small token gifts.
Okay.
A few token gifts of our esteem and delight for you joining us. Reverend Wilson is a birder, so you know what that means. Okay, so we have a book of the birds of Oregon.
Oh.
Just in case, a book of the birds of Oregon. And she travels around the country and the world so often. It was recommended to us that a Starbucks card would be helpful. So you can have a few on us.
Thank you. Okay.
And we hope that wherever you go, you will take MCC Portland with you. We have a logo t-shirt that wherever you feel the desire to feel enfolded by the love of MCC Portland,
our
logo t-shirts.
I'll wear it with pride. So, thank you.
And I will tuck this back there.
All so right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much to the board and to Pastor Nathan. We realized that we are celebrating 30 years of knowing each other, probably just around this time of year, and I want to thank God for you and for your service as now the longest serving pastor of MCC Portland. And amen. And Nathan, when I left MCC Los Angeles, I moved eventually to Sarasota, Florida to pastor, Nathan, at a very young age, was the person I left in charge. They did not have an interim pastor yet, and it would be many months before they did, at least six, I think. And so Nathan was the person in the congregation most trusted and valued for his gifts in worship and in pastoral care, having served as a deacon and in many roles in that church. And I trusted him, and the congregation trusted him to be their leader through a time of transition. I thank you, Nathan, for your service and for the wisdom and the pastoral gifts you bring to this church. And I also want to say thank you for prayers for my mother. Some of you know that I was supposed to be here in January for your anniversary celebration, and my mother was very ill at the time. She is so much better. I talked to her this morning, and she has a lot of gratitude for your good thoughts and your prayers, and I thank you. I also want to thank you for your faithfulness to MCC globally. Some of you belong to the Moderator's Circle and give monthly to MCC over and above your church tithes. And I want to welcome you to our General Conference in Victoria, British Columbia. That's the closest it will be to you for quite some time, probably. And so I urge you to think about getting to Victoria and being part of that amazing celebration. People from around the world will be electing my successor, a new moderator of MCC. We'll be passing a renewed statement of faith for MCC that we hope will be something very contemporary, 21st century, that will really communicate to the world and to ourselves our identity, our mission, and about our faith. So I hope that you'll join us for that. We're going to be honoring Rainbow Railroad, which is a Canadian nonprofit organization in Toronto that is in partnership with MCC Toronto that has resettled so far about 1,000 refugees from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia, from all over the world who are LGBT refugees who have found home in Canada and who are so much better for it and who are thriving and who were allowed to live and bring their partners. And we want to thank MCC Toronto and Rainbow Railroad for their work. It'll be a great time. The daughter of Raul Castro, the president of Cuba, will be present with us. She's an AIDS activist and a supporter of LGBT rights in Cuba. She will be present addressing us. And you'll get to meet people from places like Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where we have a new MCC church. There are so many places in Mississippi and in places around the world that we have not prior been able to have an MCC church. And you can imagine how life is in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It's a little different than Portland, Oregon. But I'm so proud of them because they're about 18 months old and they've started a new church in Gulfport, Mississippi. And so they're doing great work there. And we have a whole new emerging church, New Church Starts program. And come and meet many of those folks as far away as Bogota, Colombia. And in Italy, we have three new groups all over the continent of Europe. And so come and share with us and be present in Victoria or pray for us who are going and who really hope to make history at this coming General Conference. Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy anniversary, MCC Portland. You are part of quite a number of MCC churches that have celebrated and lived to see their 40th year. In less than 3 years, we will celebrate the 50th anniversary of Metropolitan Community Church, Founders MCC in Los Angeles, and of our movement worldwide. Can you believe that? It will be 50 years in less than 3 years. How much the world has changed in 50 years, or even in 40 years. And I want you to think of MCC's role and your role in some of those very good changes, and to think about what it was like to start in an MCC church in 1976, in this city, in this place. The courageous. All right, well, see, there you are. Yeah, some people were just being born or not born yet, and yet people had the courage to gather as MCC Portland. Our psalm today sings of the stone that the builders rejected. Those whom society has rejected have become a cornerstone of faith. Jesus, who was rejected, became the incarnation of a new vision of God. We, in Jesus' name, are called to be a new vision of God as well. I want to thank many of you who have hung in there through the ups and downs that every single community of faith has. You have made a difference. This church has touched thousands of lives, has inspired people to do ministry in new ways. You've been part of a movement that's changed lives and history, and I'm so proud of you. And today, I want to talk about the present and the future for MCC Portland. And I want to focus on a small part of the gospel story. Before they go into Jerusalem, Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to go into the village, and you'll find a colt tied up, and say to the owners, the Lord has need of it. Think about that little piece. Today in the United States, the fastest growing religious demographic is called the nuns. That's not N-U-N-S, that's N-O-N-E-S. And that is people who have no religious affiliation or identification. In the United States today, about 93% of adults say they believe in God in some way or shape. But for those under 30, it drops to 40%, which is like falling off a cliff. Yet even those who say they do not believe in God or are not sure at all about religion, they still struggle and have spiritual questions and hungers. Many of them have felt betrayed by the church. Amen? We understand what that means. Bored or feel like the church is irrelevant to issues they care about, like climate change, for instance. They polled young adults a few years ago and said, tell us the top three things you believe about Christianity. The top three things young adults in the United States believe about Christianity. Number one was it's anti-gay. Number two, it's judgmental. And number three, it's boring. So friends, if you can be open about sexuality, non-judgmental and not boring, you might have a prayer with someone who is a young adult. Adults 45 to 65 in the United States have the highest level of chronic isolation and loneliness. Many work from home or are underemployed or unemployed, impacts people's health and well-being. You know, it's interesting. We live in a world where more and more people connect virtually rather than face-to-face. And the church can do two things in that. On the one hand, the church can be countercultural and still be a place where people get to see someone face-to-face, get to look into somebody's eyes or touch someone's hand or get a hug. On the other hand, the Church of Jesus Christ has to become more virtually accessible. We have to be present in the places people are seeking community. There are people all over the world who want to be part of MCC. They want to belong, but there isn't a community where they live, in their small town or in their country. They have to have a way to connect, to worship, to be baptized, to have communion, to have community, to gather with friends, and to be MCC. And we are struggling and growing in the ways that we can provide that everywhere in the world. Jesus lived in times of social upheaval, terrible income equality, unemployment, mistrust of religious and political authority. Does any of this sound familiar? In those times, Jesus met people at the margins, hiding in treetops like Zacchaeus. He met lepers in caves. He was out in the rural areas, in the remote places, calling people who were fishing, people who did not think they were good enough to be religious or noticed by God or to be good people. Every time Christianity gets bogged down, self-interested, it does not hear the cries of ordinary people. Jesus appears at the margins, calling people to touch the outcast, to expand the body, to open the doors. That is who we are and have been, and who you are, MCC Portland. Now back to the story. Jesus gets ready to march into Jerusalem, into that religious center, also a political hotbed, dangerous, and makes a statement on what we call Palm Sunday. The movement he's led of outcasts and allies is asserting that God is up to something. And Jesus chooses the symbol not of a white horse or a prestigious symbol, but of a humble colt, it says, never ridden. What is happening is new. Jesus says, I'm no ordinary or typical leader or even an ordinary king. I'm not doing a power grab. Jesus says, I am a servant of a God who loves the poor, who have been thrown away and marginalized. The Lord has need of it. This was said to the owner of the donkey that Jesus was to ride into Jerusalem, that humble animal. And the persons, the owners, it said, whose colt it was, are mysterious. They are never named, and they only ask one question, the question Jesus said they would, which is, why are you untying my colt? But after that, once they say the Lord has need of it, they don't appear to ask any other questions, like, how long does Jesus need it? Or what's he going to use it for? Or how will I know that I'll get it back? Instead, there is implicit, deep trust. So we might think this morning, what do we have that Jesus needs? Right here, today. And I want to say to you that I know from the depths of my being that God needs us to fill in the gaps, to provide, to be God's hands and feet, to untie whatever colt we might have, and to say yes. MCC Portland, you matter, not just for the good old days, not just in the challenging times, but today. One thing matters now, and that is that God needs you today. People who love, who God loves, need you, and need you to help them find their way. In times of anxiety, upheaval, the world seems crazy. Politics are crazy. Amen. Say that with me today. There's mistrust in institutions, hunger for authenticity, for action. God needs MCC Portland to be real, present, engaged, and in love with the mission God has given us. So today I want you to tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, God needs me today. Go right ahead. Sometimes we're incredulous, aren't we? We don't really believe that God needs or wants us, but we're wrong. The same God who needed the people who started this church 40 years ago, the same God who needed those people who had that cult, needs you. People come to MCC for their own needs, but really we end up finding our gifts, don't we? And we end up doing things we never thought we'd do. And how do we know it's God's voice telling us? One, it persists over time. Two, others confirm it. And three, I'm never completely happy or fulfilled until I say yes. God needs me today. That's a place to start. And it might be behind the scenes, alongside others. I have no idea what it is. It's not mine to know. Some of you already know, don't you, that God needs you? But you may be shy about saying it. But today is the day. Own it in this place. Now tap your neighbor and say, God needs you. Go ahead. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder. God needs you. My experience at 12 years old in Sunday school was one of those hallmark experiences. I can't even tell you exactly. A few months before, I'd probably been in a depression as an 11 or 12 year old that wouldn't even have known what a depression was. I'm sure I was struggling with my gender and sexuality issues, but had no idea that there was anybody else like me or what it was really about. But I'd had an experience. I had a direct experience of God speaking to me and saying, I am your friend. And someday you'll have other friends. But for now, I'm enough. That experience changed my life. I often say, nothing changed, but everything changed after that moment. But a few months later, and I had this experience, I didn't dare tell anyone I'd had that experience. If you said God said something to you, you know where you went, and it wasn't to a good place. So I kept that experience to myself in my heart, and I walked into my Sunday school class one morning, and I had a Sunday school teacher that, for the first time, helped me be interested. She was enthusiastic about the Bible, and I really started paying attention. And when I think about that, I remember walking into the classroom and my friend Betty Lou sitting on the front row, and Betty Lou looked at me and said in a loud voice, I know what Nancy's gonna be when she grows up. She's gonna be a preacher. Now, this is a time when women weren't preachers, I can assure you, not in the Methodist church I grew up in. And I remember from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, I felt and knew what she said and that it was true. And I had no idea how Betty Lou knew that. Or that she was a prophet. Prophet Betty Lou. And I didn't even know what a prophet was in those days. But I remember standing there, and I don't remember the response of people. Probably people laughed or said, who knows what other people did. I didn't hear them. And I have no idea why she said that, except that it was the Holy Spirit speaking through her. All of us see gifts in others, but do we risk telling them? Do we risk saying, God needs you? Sometimes others see things in us we cannot see or that we cannot speak. Amen. Maybe God needs you to tell someone that God needs them to step up, to say yes to their calling, to what God needs from them. Who knows, you may be somebody's Betty Lou today in this place or in your life. And now I invite you to tap your neighbor and say, God needs MCC Portland today. Sometimes we have no idea how much people need or want what we take for granted. We have no idea. I have a friend, Reverend Jim Mulcahy. Jim was a Jesuit priest 40, 50 years ago in the Middle East and Eastern Europe. Later in life, he came out and he became an MCC pastor, pastored in Rochester, New York. But as he retired, he said, I want to go back to the places I loved. And he moved to Ukraine in the Middle East. Imagine a time to move there. In a time when they're just beginning to be openly LGBT people seeking spiritually. Jim goes to Ukraine and Romania and Russia and Poland and Finland and all over the Eastern Europe and even the Middle East, Turkey. And he says his job description is, I just go and love people. And Jim counsels particularly Orthodox priests who are coming out of the closet. Some of them coming into MCC and to start MCC in places like Czechoslovakia and Poland and Ukraine and other places. Some who are just pouring out their hearts to him. And I thank God for Jim Mulcahy. But he describes this experience he had after a pride parade in Nikolaev in Ukraine. And there was kind of a little bit of a riot even at the Pride Parade, and it was quite intense. And Jim had promised to do a wedding for two women, and about 60 people gathered in this quiet, out-of-the-way place to have this wedding. And as he gathered, he also set up communion, and he wanted to serve an MCC-style open communion to the people gathered there for this wedding. And he did the wedding, and then he said he wanted to offer communion, but he was feeling a little nervous because they were all Orthodox, which we say, you know, is like being Roman Catholic on steroids a little bit. It's very intense. And Jim said he wanted to just give people permission and an out if they needed it. And he said, I want to serve this open communion, but please only come forward if you want to. And from the back of the sanctuary, a woman yelled out, we want it! We want it! And as she said that, people began chanting and chanting and chanting and saying, we want it! We want it! We want it! And Jim said, with tears streaming down his face, he consecrated that communion, and he said, sometimes you have no idea how much people want what we take for granted. MCC Portland, you're in the Northwest, noted for being the most non-religious place in the United States. This is your challenge, isn't it? There are a lot of spiritual refugees here in Portland. People who have spiritual hunger, but who are suspicious of church. It sounds like how MCC started, with a lot of people who'd been hurt by church or suspicious. And they really want, though, in many cases, what we've found and what we have to offer. We have to find them and the ways to connect with them. I was talking to the new young leader and pastor of our church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I said, so what's up this new year for you? Her name is BD. I said, BD, what's up this year? And she said, we're going after the nuns in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I mean N-O-N-E-S, you know. There are a lot of young people in Hattiesburg who feel totally alienated from anything remotely like church. She said, but I know we have something very unchurchy, the spirit of a living God to offer them. MCCs that are decades old, like Portland, you need to ask the question, if you haven't asked it every day, who needs us now? What does God need from us now? How can we be vulnerable, open-hearted, present, to be a fresh idea of God, a new face of Jesus, for those who have been betrayed by religion, or bored, or who don't feel like that faith in some sense includes them? MCC Portland, I'm aware that you went through a very painful experience recently. I know that you've worked through issues around shame and guilt and angst. I want you to say to you, you're not the only MCC that's been through this, and not the only one that's been through it recently. I want to bless you for facing the problems boldly, openly, with prayer, with love for one another. I know it's not easy, but I want to say how proud I am of you. How proud I am of you. Sometimes it's easy to walk away when things are tough. Thank you for not walking away. Because, very important, that you must focus on the fact that what happened is not what will matter in the long run. Even with the struggles you've had, the pain it caused, God is with you, and God needs you. You are not defined by what happened to you. You are defined by how God works through you, by your trust in the God who called you in the first place. This is what we often say to those who are abused in whatever ways. You are not what happened to you. You are a person. You have worth and destiny. I had the privilege of working in the White House faith-based neighborhood partnership, and we had one issue that we struggled with for 2.5 years, and that was the issue of human trafficking, of modern slavery. and we supported the White House efforts. We helped them think about reorganizing the federal government and how it deals with human trafficking. And we did a huge summit of all the nonprofits in the U.S. dealing with these issues. And I'm very proud of the ways in which we were able to bring the voice of faith to bear. We had 3 days of some of the most intense learning about modern slavery and human trafficking that I could ever have imagined. We met with the Justice Department, with the State Department, with Homeland Security. But the most powerful and important thing we did was we got to hear the stories and testimony of survivors of human trafficking, men and women who had the most incredible stories. And the thing that I heard over and over and over again from them was that they were not willing to be defined by what happened to them, by what was done to them, but how they overcame and how they came to live their lives in service to others who had been similarly abused. It was one of the most incredible moments in my life to hear their stories and to have the privilege to respond to their stories. So I want to say, God needs you now, here in Portland, and in Oregon, and in the northwest of the United States, and even in Western Canada. There are still very few communities of faith, voices of faith, that openly talk about integrating sexuality and spirituality as MCC does and can, that practice radical inclusion, that stretch themselves the way we can and we do. I know that the trans community needs us, and we need them and their leadership. We need to be in solidarity in new ways. I know that young people need us. They need hope. They need places to offer their leadership. They need places where their voices are heard. The Black Lives Matter movement needs us. Do you know the Black Lives Matter was founded mostly by young queer people who were not wanting to separate who they were, but to bring all of who they were to the needs of their community? Immigrants need us in this community. Older people need us who are isolated. Oregon needs you. Towns and cities that have no MCC in this region need you. And as we celebrate Palm Sunday, this 40th anniversary, I invite you to embrace the ways in which God needs you and us to be MCC going forward. And as my last time to visit you, most likely, while I'm still moderator of MCC, I want to invite us to something, to do something unusual. And that is, I want to invite those of you who can or wish to come forward. And I want to pray for you. I want to invite Pastor Nathan to do that. And to pray about how God needs you. So if you're struggling this morning, does God need me? Does God need my neighbor? Does God need MCC Portland? I invite you, as you're able, to come forward or to just stretch out your hands today. Come on and do it. Who's tapping you on the shoulder right now? And you feel that Holy Spirit tap you on your shoulder today. God, I thank you. I thank you for those who are lifting their hands or coming forward right now, God. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit will send renewal and revival in this 40th year to MCC Portland in ways we had not expected. I ask God that you send the people to tap us on the shoulder or to themselves who are being tapped on the shoulder. God, help us to untie those bolts. Help us to know what it is we might have to so many who still need to hear that.
that you are a God of mercy and of love, that you are a God of justice, that you are a God of peace and hope and power and presence. God, hear our prayers through our tears, through our joy. God, be our God. Call us today. Yeah. Let us know that you have need of us. Let us know that as we say yes to you, we are saying yes to life, yes to communities who need us so much. Help us, God, to be bold. Help us, God, to be fearless. Yeah. Yeah. Help us, God, to be filled with joy and hope. Presence. Thank you, God, for being our God. And we pledge to you and give ourselves to you that we will be your people. We will be the ones you can call on. In Jesus' name.